coming in as Lube. Milledyke centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flame.
Here goes, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, let's get it going. We are underway on this Tuesday, April 15th. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. Welcome to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and the Hot Stove Lounge. And welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Save. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of NHL.com along with you this hour on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And the text line is open if you're listening live at 960-960, and we'll spend a good chunk of this segment on the text line. We got a little palate cleanser for you at the end of the hour because, you know, I mean, cut the tension and cut the anxiety of Flames fans. Neither of us have ever been a part of a day quite like this one before. You and I have both been covering this team for double-digit years. It's been 15 years or so on the full-time beat for me, right around the same for you.
11 or 12, yeah.
So, like, it's been never that I've had an opportunity to go into a night quite like this one where two games happening. I mean, the only thing that comes close to it was, I want to say game 81, yep. Or maybe game 80. No, I'm going back even further. Ooh. Was 2009-2010 when the Flames missed the playoffs after making it for five straight years. It was maybe game 80 that they were eliminated, and they played two meaningless games at the end, if I want to remember correctly, but doesn't matter. It was late in the season. Flames lost a game here at the Dome, and then that same night, Vancouver and Colorado, if I remember correctly, went to a shootout. Matt Duchene won it in a shootout. We were sitting here in this room. Rob Kerr, Mike Rogers, Peter Marr were doing the post-game show. I was doing post-game locker room. We weren't going to go into the locker room until we knew if the Flames were going to be eliminated or still playing meaningful hockey. Colorado won in the shootout, and that got them in. That's the last time I can remember anything quite like this, but this will be going on during the game. We'll be seeing the Flames, watching them play Vegas, but also keeping an eye on what Minnesota and St. Louis are doing in their games. Those games decide what this game means between the Flames and the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, it's a very unique night, and I'm looking forward to it. Let me play this clip from Nazem Kadri because I thought he had the line of the day inside the Flames locker room.
If you need a message to fire you up at this point, then something's wrong with you. So, you know, for us, I think everybody's bought in. We understand the situation. We're ready to play.
They're ready to play. They're ready to go. They know what's at stake. They know what the score is. They know what's in control and what's not in their control. It's quite something that has come to this, hasn't it? Isn't it? It's quite something that game 81 of 82 and the third last day of the regular season means as much as it does in the Western Conference, and that the Flames are a part of it.
A tip of the cap to the guys in the room, the coaching staff, the management for building and buying into the group that they have, because I'm not going to lie, I didn't have game 81 on the schedule being meaningful on the old bingo card, and it's a testament to the work that they put in, not just over the course of the last couple of weeks or since the Four Nations break. This is a season-long endeavor that, to be perfectly honest, they've had the belief this entire time, and they're proving that, hey, the guys in the room were right, the guys outside of the room were wrong, that this is a team that could contend for a Stanley Cup playoff spot.
As of right now, as we're talking, before the puck is dropped in any of these games on Tuesday, Flames are at 13.8% to make the playoffs at Money Puck, 13.4% to make the playoffs at Hockey Reference. Sounds about right, hey? You know, knowing the opponents and knowing that they're both at home and knowing they have destiny fully in their own hands, sounds about right. And the Flames still do have to take care of their business, although they've done a really nice job of doing that over the last little bit. So that sounds about right in terms of the percentage, but it's non-negligible, right? Like, you're still in double digits. And yeah, the other teams are in the 80s and 90s to make it, but you're still in double digits, and you're not, like, it's still a decent chance, especially compared to the way things looked a week ago or 4 days ago or 9 days ago or whatever. It's the fact they're still here is pretty impressive. And honestly, Vix, if they still have the door open to them after Tuesday night, I think they're getting in.
Well, you don't have to squint hard to see the scenario where if you look at the Minnesota Wild, who only need a single point, they've gotten at least 1 point in 51 of 81 games. So you're talking 30 games this season, they haven't got a point. St. Louis Blues need a regulation win to eliminate the Flames. They've got 43 of those in 81 games, so that leaves a good chunk of games where they haven't won in regulation. So, again, you're not trying to go, oh, long shot this, long shot that for what you need out of the out-of-town scoreboard. You look and, okay, you can see the path there, and now it comes back to the Flames because it's not automatic for Calgary. They have to take care of their own business as well, whether that's two regulation wins, whether that's two wins in any situation, whether that's a win in an overtime shootout point. Calgary still has to worry about their own business.
Yep.
You do have to worry about what's going on the out-of-town scoreboard, but it's not inconceivable that at least one thing goes their way outside of the Calgary city limits.
Of course it's not. And I still maintain that if it does, like, that the team that keeps the door open, they don't belong in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If you can't win a game like this against a non-playoff team, you're not deserving of being a playoff team. And if both teams do it, then one non-deserving team will be in. And I think if the Flames do walk through an open door Tuesday and Thursday, they'll be fully deserving of going in. It's been quite a ride, my friend. 80 meaningful games and 81st still to come. It's been a surprising season. There's not one person that saw this coming, outside of the Flames locker room anyway. I thought they would be competitive. I thought that they would be, a team that I never saw them being 30th, 31st, 32nd. I thought at least three quarters, if not more, of their season, they'd still be playing meaningful games. But I saw them a little bit closer, maybe to where Utah is. In it until the end, but then, just not quite enough. Well, they've been better than that, and they still have an opportunity 97% of the way through their season to make the playoffs. Even if their path isn't as easy as other paths, they still have a path. That path hasn't been closed, and it exists as of now. So we'll see how it plays out. It's been quite a ride. You ready to get to the text line and react? 960-960.
Yeah,
like, you know what? It's this time of year where prepping and coming up with topics comes a whole lot easier. And if they get in, shows are just done for you. It's like, oh, we'll talk about this and talk about that and play some audio and do our regular guests, and that's a show.
What did I do spending 4 hours getting ready for this then?
That's your own problem. I can't not be
I know
prepared.
You can't.
Let's get to it. 960-960, how are you feeling going into the most important day of the regular season and the most important day of the regular season for three teams, Minnesota, St. Louis, and, of course, the Calgary Flames? Scott in Yorkton says, I don't have any fingernails left, and the pregame hasn't even started on any of those games. Fair enough. This says, bleeping bricks, Pat. Fair enough. I like just three words. Very simple.
I'm
I like
certain
it.
It's not bleeping, but I get your point.
This from Nick in Crossfield. I haven't been this nervous about a regular season Flames game day since the LA game a decade ago. I have contemplated not checking out the other two games, changing the TV channel during intermission and just watching the boys play and cheer them on and see what happens when they win. Is there any way to ask John and Kelly to not disclose scores during the telecast? Unfortunately, not.
Will you be live tweeting the scores from Minnesota?
Live tweeting? No.
Just checking.
Live tweeting live tweeting from the game is one thing, but like me live tweeting other scores. Everybody has the internet. They don't need Pat to tell them what's happening out of town. They don't need me to be like, oh, well, it's two. They have phones, too.
I need you, buddy. I need you.
I'll tell you in person. This reads at the you know what? That one's not on topic. It's about Parekh and whether he's playing. We don't need to get into that. This says, hope and belief is a powerful thing. Look out, hockey world. Flames about to set the playoff ice ablaze. Go, Flames, go. That's from Fernando in Mahogany. And I'll say this much. Belief has been a big reason why they've been able to stick with it as long as they have.
Belief is the reason they've got points in six straight, 4-0-2, and have only lost twice in regulation in the past 14 games to put themselves into the situation.
Pat, everything aside, with all the fun we've had this year back and forth, we both want the same thing, so let the magic happen tonight. That comes from our buddy Daryl. Daryl, it will be Dustin Wolfe starting in this game against Vegas. Daryl's the guy who's, you know, maybe been a little bit more vocal about when Vladar should start, but it's all been in good fun. Brandon at the Grey Eagle says, people keep telling me that Vegas is resting players and that they don't care about this game at all. I disagree. You don't think Vegas doesn't know they can end the Flames season? Of course they do. I bet they come out really good. Flames better be ready to go. No, by no means do I think the Vegas Golden Knights will be mailing this game in. They're trying to ramp themselves up for the playoffs. They're trying, you know, the guys that are playing tonight aren't just going to be dogging it. Now, I do think if the game turns into a 3-0 game midway through and the Flames have the lead, then you might see some Vegas guys just trying not to get hurt and just going through the motions. But to start the game, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, if the Flames jump out to a significant lead, I imagine Vegas will just continue to roll four lines and all that. But keep in mind, Vegas still has leading scorers 3 through 8 in the lineup and 4 of their top 5 goal getters this year. Yes, they've got Samsonov in net, who hasn't played since March 23rd because of an injury. So he's making his return to the crease and is their de facto backup. But even the guys coming into the lineup for the likes of Eichel, Stone, Hanifin, Petrangelo, these are guys that are vying to be the next man up in the playoffs when injuries happen, because injuries do happen in the playoffs. So there is still a lot on the line for the guys that are finding their way into the lineup because of these scratches.
Chad says, Pat, what are the scenarios that need to happen in order for the Flames to get in? Well, the one of two things needs to happen. Or I guess it's one of three things need to happen. Minnesota needs to lose in regulation. St. Louis needs to lose in any fashion. Or St. Louis wins in extra time. Any one of those three things happen, mixed with the Flames getting a point, a win, or a regulation win, depending on the other results, that could keep them in it. That could keep the door open going into Thursday night in Los Angeles. Stafford at the Dome says, Pat, win or lose, in or out, thank you, Flames, for one heck of a ride. And it really has been a pretty wild ride so far. Leon in Lethbridge says, I'm 67. I've had season tickets since 81 until a few years ago. This is exciting and needed for the fans. Looks good for the future and even for tonight. Much compliments to Conroy for a great season and next season. Aaron writes, tonight's game just has a feeling that it's going to be a Cole Schwint coming out party. Two goals to knock out the Flames would be the most Flamesy thing to happen. Unfortunately, Aaron, that can't happen. Schwint's not playing either. So the big guns aren't going. Schwint and that, is it Ronberg?
Ronberg, who was just recalled.
Yeah, so
is
Jonas,
it Ronberg?
Ronberg, yeah. Ronberg will not play. Schwint will not play. Neither will Eichel, Stone, Petrangelo, or Hanifin. So, Aaron, that scenario can't happen tonight.
I don't know if
they
you're
make a change.
Addressing me or the texter, but
Aaron, the texter.
You could. It applies to both. Let's be honest.
Boys, common sense tells me it's just a game. Whether the Flames make the playoffs, life will go on. But I have butterflies in my stomach all day long. I want to be hopeful, but since when has the hockey god been kind to my beloved team? I want us to get into the playoffs, and St. Louis turns blue from jealousy because Kadri would have made it in, and that lame team didn't. Please give me reason to be hopeful. Go Flames, go. I will say, if Kadri gets in and the Blues don't, that'll be a pretty nice little, I still think what Blues fans did 3 years ago, some of the most vile, gross stuff I've ever seen in the context of sports. And on top of that, the lack of any response until they were pressured to do so was so Bush League from St. Louis. It was awesome when Kadri stuck it to them in that series. And it would be pretty awesome if Kadri could somehow stick it to the Blues from afar, but somehow stick it to the Blues and get it, help the Flames get in over St. Louis. That would be pretty poetic.
Just a little cherry on top?
Yeah, I think so.
Fair enough.
Cody and Boness, I am more worried for the other teams to fail than for Calgary to complete what they want to complete. Fair enough. This says, guys, I'm a Warlock Gallagher. Flames going to win both, and they're going to get into the playoffs. I don't know what that means, but awesome.
Does that require a quick Google?
Yeah, I'm looking up.
Okay. I'm not familiar as well, so I can't even throw shade at you.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but if you're a Warlock Gallagher, then I trust you. Ben and Okotoks, absolutely terrified and so excited. This is what being a hockey fan's about. Pat, my heart's pounding and none of the games have even started. This is too much stress. This says, again, I'm dangerously optimistic. Dale says, I've seen every scenario mentioned except this one. If the Flames win tonight in regulation, the Blues lose in regulation, and the Flames go to overtime on Thursday, do we see a huge celebration between regulation and overtime since that point would clinch it for them? Yeah, probably. They'd probably...
be the loosest they played in overtime in a while, I'll tell you that much.
They wouldn't care about what happens in overtime after that, but I could see that being absolutely the case, Dale, if that were to happen. Hayes and Discovery Ridge. Let's not forget the LA game was postponed due to the fire. Perhaps they had less of a chance to win that game at that point in the playing trajectory. If the door still remains open after tonight's night's game, it feels serendipitous. Let's go. I do have a hard time using wildfires that ruined a city and ruined thousands of homes being serendipity for the players.
Yeah.
But you know what? However you want to go about it.
Well, and to the point, though, L.A. clinched home ice against the Edmonton Oilers in their first-round series on Monday night with a 5-0 victory. So, game 82 for the Kings? Maybe not as important as it might have been.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they'll be playing for less. I don't think the Flames can be concerned about that in any way, shape, or form, though.
Oh, no.
Pat, wouldn't it just be a beautiful thing if both the Flames and Jackets squeaked their way in? It would be pretty cool from a Johnny standpoint, I'm not going to lie. Nick and Crossfield. I think I already read Nick and Crossfield, so I won't read that again. Jeff in Calgary. This is the worst Knights lineup of the year. Flames better not start slow, or Schwint might have a hat trick again. Can't be Cole Schwint. Ryan says, careful, boys. Vegas is playing their B squad. They're coming out to hurt you. I mean, they're hardly a bunch of goons that can't play.
I feel like they'd skew more to not getting hurt than out to hurt someone else.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the Oilers and Kings. This is...
There's a path.
Yeah, I don't think Vegas is worried about that.
I don't think they are either.
Curtis from South Calgary, this...
He caught you, didn't he?
This reminds me of the first time I was intimate. Nervous but excited, don't know what to do, hope it goes good, and really afraid it'll be over fast. That's pretty funny. I had to, like, slightly censor it a little bit, but Curtis, that was quite funny. Alan, Pat, there's no doubt the Flames win tonight. Sit back and enjoy it. No nerves here. When they make the playoffs, I'll light my beard on fire. Go Flames, go. Alan, don't do that.
That sounds painful. As a guy that occasionally has a beard, that sounds like something you don't want to do.
Don't light your beard on fire, but I like the positivity elsewhere. Otherwise, Tim and Sylvan Lake, I hope the Flames' one good season, one bad season is over. They need back-to-back years of good hockey. Well, at this point, all they can do is make the playoffs right now. This from Tyler in Heritage Point. Pat, I'm the guy that set up the Chris Jericho interview years ago. Chris and I will be cheering for them tonight and the out-of-town scoreboard. Go Flames. That is cool. I remember that Jericho interview during the pandemic when Peter Klein was asking him about he wanted to ask him about drones, but he ended up asking him about droids. And Kleiner was very nervous talking to Chris
Jericho.
Hey,
I would be too. Canadian wrestling legend.
I was as well. This reads, zero anxiety, even if they make it in. They aren't getting out of the first round. That is far more of a crushing, stark reality, because unless they get some better talent on this team, they'll stay in the mushy middle. Well, that is very... You know, you're allowed to enjoy something. You're allowed to be hopeful as a fan. Like, you don't need to pour water all over the party. You know.
Don't need to be the porcupine at the balloon party?
Yeah, don't need
to. A-Wes?
A-Wes? Oh, geez. That's like a downer text.
Like, is there a segment of Team Tank that is just absolutely dug in and refused to get behind this Flames team because not pivot?
This person firmly feels like it.
Yeah.
This from Kyle in Rocky Ridge. This is what every hockey fan lives for. It's true. Like, these are the days that make being a fan, a broadcaster, a player,
yes,
whatever. This is what makes it fun, right?
Meaningful hockey. Literally a win. Or sorry, I guess if you lose, you're completely gone. This is an elimination game the Flames are playing. The fact that it's April 15th and there is meaningful hockey at the NHL level at Scotiabank Saddledome is exactly what you want.
Odds are always stacked against Calgary. Let's be real. Goals called back, all kinds of adversity all year long. I believe the hockey gods will favor them for one night, both on the out-of-town scoreboard, and Blake Coleman will score the game winner.
They're due.
Adam and Airdrie says, I know Vegas wouldn't take the Flames lightly in the first round, but who do you think Vegas would rather face in round one, Minnesota or the Flames? Maybe they'd rather see the Flames, and that plays in the back of their minds. Of course, that is the least likely outcome of this tangled web. I really don't feel like the Golden Knights will the effort that we see from the visitors will be dictated by who they might be able to play in the postseason. I've seen that. I don't buy into that narrative myself.
I don't know how you downshift into third and play a pedestrian game at any sort of point. I know you're not necessarily icing Eichel and Stone and so on and so forth, but I don't know how you can go out there and play it 70%.
Derek and Red Deer driving all the way down to watch the boys pull out the win. Don't let me down. Rob says, if the Flames make the playoffs, I'll be in complete denial until puck drop of game one. Go Flames, go. That's from Rob and Warman. Corey says, what is Calgary's record against Vegas and L.A.? They are 0-2-1 against Vegas, and off the top of my head, I don't remember against LA this year. I can quickly check for him, however. But 0-2-1 against Vegas this year. They are one win, two wins. They only play the Kings three times this year. So they're 2-0 against LA so far this season. This reads, as much as I believe in the Flames, the Wild and Blues should also have that urgent mindset to secure their spot, just hoping Utah and or Anaheim can come through. You know what I like is that this person has texted in, since we've got our new text system, this person has texted in twice. On October 30, wished me happy birthday, or she, this person wished me happy birthday, and then texted in October 3rd to April 15th. Now that is some...
Second time, long time.
I like that a lot. And the text is right. I mean, Minnesota and St. Louis better be coming with the same type of urgency, right? And how do they deal with the situation? How do they deal with the pressure? You know, for instance, St. Louis, they've got some guys who have been in similar spots before. There's still guys, holdovers from Binnington to Thomas to Kyrou. There's some holdovers, plenty of holdovers from that 2019 Stanley Cup winning team. Has Minnesota really been in a situation like this before where there's a little bit of pressure on? Less pressure on Minnesota, more on St. Louis, but how did the Blues and Wild deal with the added pressure? Scott and Riverbend said, is Utah playing a lot of their rookies, giving St. Louis even more steam? Not that we know of.
They're starting their number one.
They started their number three because their number two isn't with them right now. They started their number three goalie on Monday night and starting their number one, Karel Vemelka, in this game on Tuesday. Joy in Strathmore says, I'm so confident the Flames are going to clinch on Thursday. I already have the flight saved online, and as soon as I know tonight that they can have a chance to clinch on Thursday, I'm booking these flights. I was in New York for all three games, and they won, and Craig Conroy called me the lucky charm, so I have to go. All right, join Strathmore. I like that. This reads, Justin in Medicine Hat says, I think this is a big step forward for a lot of the younger players to play in these meaningful games down the stretch, and even if they do lose in the first round of the playoffs again, it'll be a good learning experience for the young guys moving forward. This reads, the Flames fighting for a playoff spot in Game 81 in a rebuild and having the Devils' first rounder and the Flames having a better record is a great season. All those things are true. Ryan says, I was Team Tank and I'm firmly enjoying them being in the race. I'll be dug in next year on Team Tank, however.
Hey, at least the flip of the light switch has come on and you can enjoy this a little bit.
Here's Brad, real uh-oh, positive text uh-oh from Brad. Tonight will go well, and then they'll get shut out by Big Save Dave and the Kings. That's not very
optimistic.
This says the Flames are doing their fans proud. I'm realistic about their growth, and I truly think Conroy will be getting them a star in the offseason. Corey says, who is Robert cheering for? Robert on the postgame show. Picks, 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 picks. Go Flames. Win out regardless. That's from Corey in Lynx Ridge. That's a throwback to earlier this season. This reads from Cole. Pat, I've been distracted all day. I definitely didn't expect to be this invested in hockey in April. Can't wait for the game. Go Flames. Go. Cindy says, I believe Johnny's looking down on the Flames in Columbus and making good things happen for his former teams. This and that, again, as we said, would be a pretty cool subplot to the whole thing. Keith and Rocky Ridge, I'm excited to see young players like Coronado and Klapka play for their life tonight. I'm confident it'll give us a sign of more great things to come with this team. Heath says, guys, I despise the term mushy middle. It's frustrating because the folks are typically, using that quote, go on to talk about teams that have generational players and not just top 10 picks in their lineup. Not all top 10 picks pan out. Just ask the Detroit Red Wings. All I can say is you only need to win 16 games. Win one, lose one, win one, lose one the whole way. You just need to get that last win and you're hoisting the Stanley Cup. That comes from Heath. Tom in Airdrie says, I don't think the Jets or Vegas are excited to play any team in the wild card spot. All three teams are playing playoff-style hockey for a few weeks. I could see an upset, Flames over the Jets in six. Few more. Chandler in Cochrane says, we want the red mile, fellas. Drew in Saddle Ridge, just win, baby. No matter what happens anywhere else, just win. The universe works in strange ways. And finally, Sylvester, let's hope the Blues are burnt out from having to win 12 in a row. And have nothing left in the tank. At least that's what I'm telling myself. Great stuff on the text line at 960-960. It is a Tuesday that we you don't usually get, and it's pretty cool to be a part of. It's pretty cool to be covering it. I think as a fan, as nerve-wracking as it might be, it's pretty cool to be a part of it. If you're a fan, I would suggest. And I think the Flames are enjoying the fact that they're still playing important hockey at this time of year. Hey, can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, a little palate cleanser now. We just talked nothing but Flames in this game, and the text line is everybody's anxious and biting their fingers. So just for the last half of the hour, before we kick it into pregame, if you're listening live, thought we'd do this as NHL Central Scouting has put out their they put out their final rankings for the 2025 draft, of which we know the Flames will have two first-round picks. We are assuming they will own New Jersey and Florida's picks. And we don't know where those are going to be. They'll land somewhere between 16 and 32, depending on how things go in the postseason. And so, I don't know if there are a ton of surprises when it comes to NHL Central Scouting's final rankings. And I thought, you know what? They came out today. It's a good palate cleanser just to take a deep breath and finish out the hour this way. And then everything will be full bore again into the game between Calgary and Vegas and then the two games out of town. And we also have the head honcho over at...
Say the word.
What's my usual word?
Purveyor.
I was going to say purveyor.
I would have bet money on it. I would have lost.
No, I would have said it still.
Okay.
And also... the FC Hockey Czar. We've got the Czar, Purveyor, and Head Honcho of FC Hockey at NHLEntryDraft.com. FC Hockey, your foremost authority for draft prep every single year. You will have your rankings out later, closer to the draft. I know that you're going through some of your final prep and putting everything together. So let's dive right in, man. It's a defenseman as the number one ranked skater for North America from NHL Central Scouting. That defenseman is Matthew Schaefer of the Erie Otters. Is that who you would have had too?
I what a defenseman. Like
okay.
What a great lead in. Hey, tell us about this guy. I can't because he's just awesome all the way around. He might be the best offensive defenseman and the best defensive defenseman in the entire draft. And this class isn't necessarily blessed with a whole lot of high-end defenders, but Schaefer, and he hasn't played since the World Juniors, Game 2 of the World Juniors. He broke his collarbone, hasn't played since. So this is a player that has not hit the ice in a game situation in over 4 months, and he's still the de facto number one for Central Scouting among North American skaters, number one overall on our board. Like, there is not a situation you wouldn't put him in Game 7 of a Stanley Cup final, whether you're up one, whether you're down one, whether you're tied. He is as jack-of-all-trades as it gets. And in terms of defensemen, if you want to list out individual attributes, whether it's skating, offensive awareness, defensive awareness, compete, whatever descriptor you want to use, there's a chance among the defense class anyways that he could fill out your entire sheet in terms of which defenseman is best at what.
So is he your guess for, let's just assume that San Jose gets the number one overall pick again. They'll have the best odds in the lottery. And for the sake of this conversation, let's say that San Jose gets the number one overall pick. Is Matthew Schaefer the number one overall selection?
Yeah, I would have to think so. And you kind of look at what they have in their organization already, and they've got three marquee forwards, pardon me, William Eklund. I do not mean to
reminding myself, like, I think William Eklund's a more complete player than Will Smith is.
Stands right now, yeah.
Oh, my God, did Will Smith have some incredibly strong moments on Sunday and then just some absolute, like, that's not NHL defending. That is not NHL-level defending that we saw on multiple occasions from Will Smith. I digress.
He's still an incredible, untapped offensive talent.
And I think the other stuff will come.
And then you have Macklin Celebrini. I'm not sure where I'm getting Matthew from other than Matthew Schaefer. But just given what they have already up front, I can't see a scenario where the San Jose Sharks go, ooh, Michael Meese or James Haggins. And not that they're not quality players in their own right, but you've got a chance to add a franchise defenseman with a franchise forward and two other very, very high-end complementary forwards to kind of round out that staff. And they've already sort of looked at potentially maybe having their goalie of the future in Askarov. So Matthew Schaefer seems to be the logical fit there for me.
Okay. Rounding out the top five on the North American list, Saginaw's Michael Meese, teammate of Zane Parekh, James Haggins at Boston College, Jake O'Brien of OHL Brantford, and then the fifth ranked skater is the second defenseman, Seattle's Radim Mertka. How are we saying it?
Mertka.
So Radim Mertka is number five. So in the top five, you've got two D-men, Schaefer and Mertka. You've got three centers, Michael Meese, James Haggins, and Jake O'Brien. How do we like the way the rest of that top five lines up?
2-3 is automatic for me. Where
okay. Meese is the obvious two for you?
I can hear a debate for both. In our spring ranking, which came out in March, we had Haggins above Meese, but like Meese scored 134 points this year in the Ontario Hockey League. That is the highest total since names like Kane in that circuit. So, and when you go historically through the data, he's had a near historic season when it comes to going back 30 years for a player in his draft eligible year. What's interesting is Porter Marton has fallen to sixth. He's been a consensus top five pick across the board, so that includes European skaters as well. I do wonder if it's a situation where, and Marton's a 6'3", 208-pound right winger. I wonder if he's getting docked a little bit for the position, and I wonder if he's getting docked a little bit because he's been in the OHL a while. He's an 06 birthday, not an 07, so he's got the extra year of junior eligibility. So we do wonder if maybe he's been picked apart a little bit. And you see that happen a lot with top-end prospects,
right?
Particularly guys that have been in the spotlight for first overall for a really long time. There was a moment, a brief window this year where Marton was getting number one consideration. But having O'Brien and Mertka ahead of him was a little bit of an okay, let's do a little bit more homework. Mertka for me is very interesting. He's 6'6", 207-pound right shot defenseman. Who can skate, who can score, who can defend. He doesn't look the prettiest out there. To me, he's a little bit raw, which is maybe a little bit alarming, considering he still had 35 points in 43 games. He's a defenseman that, if you're willing to take maybe a little bit more of a long-term approach, he's a guy that you park back in Seattle next season, perhaps, and then you let him percolate for a year or two in the American Hockey League. Like, he's a bit of a unicorn in a sense. He's not nearly as flashy or well-rounded or even safe as Matthew Schaefer, but there is something there. So I can understand Central Scouting really liking him to the point of putting him at number five. For me, though, that's a little too high when you have Marton. Desnoyers, I'm a massive Desnoyers fan. Roger McQueen out in Brandon, he's a bit of a wild card as well. And then just for us in particular, too, having Jake O'Brien at number four with some of those other forwards on the board is a little bit of a, okay, let's dig in and do some more homework. Again, very productive year. He had 98 points this season. So we're not talking about a player that isn't deserving of being in this conversation. But we had O'Brien 10th for us. Desnoyers 5th. McQueen we had 8th overall. And ours is a blended ranking, so you get European skaters and North American skaters.
We're only looking
at the time.
North American.
We're only looking at North American right now. But it is going to be a point of contention, a debate when we get together to do our final rankings to go, okay, what did they see in Jake O'Brien to put him ahead of guys like Morton, Desnoyers, McQueen, and even as you go a little bit further down the list, Lyndon Lakovic and Moose Jaw, Justin Carboneau out in the queue as well, Malcolm Spence, who also played in the OHL. These are the debates that we'll have. And that's what the beauty is of Central Scouting, is it gives not just us, but it gives 32 NHL teams a guideline of, these are the players that we've gone out and seen. This is how we order them. Here's what we like. The NHL will have access to the scouting reports from Central Scouting, and it gives a team just a base, a foundation that their scouting staffs can go and look at and say, okay, if there's a big discrepancy in where they have a player ranked and where Central has a player ranked, you have those debates as to what are they seeing that we're not.
For those wondering, Michael Misa is the younger brother of Flames draft pick Luke Misa. Also, from a bloodline standpoint, the 19th ranked player is London defenseman Henry Brustevich, who is the younger brother of Flames prospect Hunter Brustevich.
And where does he play?
Hunter plays with the Calgary Wranglers and played in Kitchener. Henry plays with the London Knights.
So Kitchener and London, just in case anybody happened to mix those up on Flames Talk on Monday.
Nobody would have caught it, but you...
Hey, you got to own your mistakes, right?
In terms of the Flames, let's say that they end up drafting... You know, somewhere in the... Because we know that they're... Whether they make the playoffs or don't make the playoffs... I think it's probably fair to say they'll be drafting somewhere between, say, like 18, 16, 18, and then if Florida goes deep, maybe it's a 29 or something like that. But let's say they end up getting in the middle of the first round. New Jersey goes out in round one to Carolina, and they end up with like a 16th overall selection or a 17th overall selection. What center iceman could still be in the conversation? And I'm sorry, no offense to other positions.
No,
but
I got you.
We know what the Flames need. The guy that is most interesting to me, and I'd be fascinated to know where FC Hockey ends up putting him, is the local connection, Ben Kindle. On Central Scouting's list, Kindle is the second highest scoring player from this year in the top 32. So on the first page, only Michael Misa had more points this season than Ben Kindle's 99, 35 goals, 99 points in 65 games with the Calgary Hitmen. Can play center. I was talking to Azam about this because he's our Hitman ace and you know has played center for a good chunk of this season. Is Ben Kindle a possibility for the Flames if they're in the middle of the first round?
Yeah, he'll certainly be an option. As you mentioned, he's the second highest draft eligible scorer this season in North American hockey. Well, I guess you can include the Europeans in that as well. But you've also got a situation where he's the leading scorer in the Western Hockey League among draft eligibles. He's 21st among North American skaters. We've got him at 27 in our March ranking, and I've got him around 24 on my own list. He might be the best playmaker among draft eligibles from the Western Hockey League. Maybe among the best offensive IQs, offensive minds in the Western Hockey League as well. The concern, I guess, from our perspective comes in the fact that he's 5'10" and 176 pounds and how what he's able to apply at the Western Hockey League level, is he able to do those same things at the NHL level, or does he have to adjust his game down a little bit in order to find some level of success? Is he going to be a top line center in the NHL? We'll see how much more he grows. 5'10, 176 pounds again. That is a situation where, you know, maybe if he's 6 feet, he's a half a dozen or a dozen spots higher on all lists. Is he going to be a center at the next level? Is he going to be a winger at the next level? Those are all conversations that we have as well. And then if he isn't down the middle, okay, what does his future look like? Can he drive a line from the wing? Is he more of a middle six type player? Those are the decisions that teams, like particularly the Calgary Flames, are going to have.
Any other centers that you like in that range that could be Calgary targets?
So there's a couple of players that I've personally fallen in love with a little bit. in terms of what they bring. Will Horkoff, who transferred from the National Team Development Program to Michigan for the second semester of the season, I need to see him at the U18s to get a better feel of what actually he is, because going in and then playing on a program like Michigan, playing against NCAA opposition.
The bloodlines. Will Horkoff is indeed Sean Horkoff, the former Oilers forward. He is Sean Horkoff's son.
Yes.
I like to point these out. Continue.
Except for he's 6'5", 190 pounds, and he does not miss a check. Now, he's a guy that played center at the national program. He played more wing at the NCAA level. So, again, I want to get him into U18 Worlds, see how Team USA uses him there. Team USA doesn't typically invite a whole bunch of players that aren't national team members. Now, he's a former national team member, so him coming back. But they've also added a couple other players like Blake Fiddler, who plays for the Edmonton Oil Kings. He'll be on their defense. I want to see Horkoff more against his peers than he is against 20, 21, 22, 23-year-olds at the NCAA level. Because what I saw in my viewings, and again, they're video viewings, so I always rate them as a 0.75 value if an in-person viewing's a 1, just because there's a lot you don't get to see because you're following the camera. But he has the size, he has the physicality, he looked like he had the speed. We've had internal debates over, okay, what does his skating actually look like now and where can it get to? Is he as fast as he looks on video versus in person, so on and so forth? He's a guy that I would be willing to take a real long, good look at. Another player, Brady Martin from Sault Ste. Marie. He's a guy, to me, that compares very favorably to Jake O'Brien, who we previously talked about being fifth on Central Scouting's list. He's a name that I would sort of have ironed into that spot as well. I'm just trying to go through my list here. Who else might be? We've talked about Kindle a little bit. Adam Bainock, who plays for Youngstown, he had a really, really strong Ivan Holinka and then has come off a little bit. So I think when I personally go back and go through my viewings, he's not going to necessarily be a first rounder. And you want to talk about undersize, he's not even 5'8", 160 pounds. So there's some question marks there. But again, if I'm looking through, Luca Romano is a guy I got to follow back on personally, circle back on, because he's another player that had just popped at the Holinka, but we're talking about players 8 months ago. What do you look like 8 months ago versus what do you look like now? I'm just talking from my own experience of who I've been able to see lately. And then if there's a way that Braden Coots from Seattle happens to slide a little bit, he's a player that I would have firmly on my radar as well, because he's an intriguing package that I think can be a number one center in the NHL. He's not going to be a franchise center, I don't think, but he's going to be one of those 1B, 2A types.
And then the European skaters, two members of the same team in Sweden's second league, and that is Anton Frundell, who is the center iceman, and Victor Eklund, who is the winger, both playing for Djurgården in Sweden. Do we like those two at the top of the European or international list?
Yeah, those are the de facto 1-2, and that's the order that we have them in as well, and that's the same order that I have on my personal list. Frundell, again, he's listed as a center. He's played a lot of wing at the men's level, second division, as you mentioned. He's not playing junior in Sweden like many of his peers, many of the players that are the same age as him. And he's still 17. He doesn't turn 18 until the first week of May. So he's one of those players that skews on the younger side in terms of, okay, you're evaluating players born September 16th, 2006 to September 15th, 2007. He's a little bit later, like Eklund's an October 2006 birthday, so he's had a full year extra of development. What does that look like in terms of their lineage and whatnot? Frundell might be a center, might be a winger. I think he'll get a long look at whatever team drafts him and trying to make him a center, but he's sort of the power forward-ish type if we're looking to apply labels. 6'1", 198 pounds. Can finesse his way, but can also just bull his way, where to me, Victor Eklund, who's the brother of William Eklund, who we've talked about before, he skews a little more like a Nick Ehlers for me.
Okay. Well, the final rankings are out at NHL Central Scouting. You can go check those out. Head on over to FC Hockey and their website. Best way to get there is just nhlentrydraft.com. Vickers is the purveyor over at FC Hockey.
As long as you don't use Czar.
You didn't like that one?
Not really.
Well, yeah, Fentanyl Czar, and now we have a FC Hockey Czar. But go check out FC Hockey, and obviously when the guide comes out closer to this year's draft, we'll be tapping on Vix, and he'll be our draft expert for the 2025 NHL draft again. It's a little palate cleanser on a nerve-wracking Tuesday. That was all by design, friends. We decided to take the focus off Tuesday night for just a little bit of palate cleanser as we start to wrap things up this hour. Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thanks to Azam Alinanji and Taylor Dingman, our outstanding producers this hour. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit Calgary Lock and Safe.com.